last week I started talking about being wise. Wysheid. Just being wise, and I read from the scriptures, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. If we can start there, Hein, if it's fine with you, I'll start from the top. And I just read the following scripture: go to the ant, O sluggard, consider ways and be wise without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares the bread in the summer and gathers the food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the rest, folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. And I just spoke about the ant and how we can learn from the ant and how God gave nature so that we can learn from nature. And the things that I touched on was productivity, about Christians should have a productive spirit. And a thing that I stated last week is that busyness doesn't mean that you're productive. You can be busy with a whole lot of nonsense and then you're not productive. You can be. And I also spoke about the fact that, you know, I think I said it the morning, how some guys, when they go to work, they're really tired. But when they come from work, they rested out, you know. They're fresh, you know. I don't know how that works, but I've seen it. And I also spoke about the fact that some people have actually refined the art of looking busy. They look busy, but they're doing nothing. They're always busy with stuff, and you ask them what you're busy with, and they can't tell you. So I read the scripture in John 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, when you're productive, you bear fruit. Productiveness bears fruit. And I also read, you know, about having biblical priorities. You can only be productive if you prioritize and do what God expects you to do. Are you with me? So there's a lot of stuff that we can do, but if we're not doing what God says we must be doing, then we're unproductive. Are you with me? In other words, if you're a manager, and as a manager, you need to manage your shop because God wants you to do that, then you must manage your shop. Then you can be productive. Are you with me? But you can't sing worship songs as a manager from 9 in the morning to 11:30 in the afternoon and then expect your company to be profitable. There will be beautiful worship, yes. But you won't have any money to put food on the table. Then you can't cry to God, God, why did you help me? God will tell you, go to the slug, to the ant. You're unproductive. Are you with me? We're talking about productivity. And then I talked about taking initiative, seeing needs and addressing the needs, taking leadership within structure. In other words, God doesn't do magic where I pray and He takes away. There's something that you and I must do. If it's repenting, it's repenting. If you need to work, then you need to work. Whatever you need to do, that is what God speaks to us about, and that is what God wants from us. Hi. So that is really important that we do understand that you must take initiative. And then through that initiative, you can meet your own needs and you can meet other people's needs. If you don't take initiative, things won't happen. You can't sit in a chair and pray, God, I want to preach the gospel to the nations, and then sit in a chair here. How are you going to get to the nations? You need a passport if you want to go to the nations. Have you ever thought of that? And if you want to go to China, you need an airplane. Are you with me? So how are you going to get the money for the airplane? You must take initiative. Are you with me? God won't just drop it in your lap. So I spoke about taking initiative. And just Matthew chapter 25 verse 6, where Jesus said, you wicked and lazy servant. God actually hates laziness and slothfulness. God doesn't hate the person, but He hates laziness and slothfulness. You know? And then we talk about when you take initiative, you must have foresight. Knowing what's going to happen. God will place, if we can go to Psalms 34 verse 7, delight yourselves in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. God will place His desires in your heart, and then you have to act upon it. not magic. And then I spoke about we must be diligent. Diligent is the opposite of procrastination. Procrastination is the fact that you know what you need to do, but you don't do it. You know how we get to that stage in our life? I know what I must do, but I don't do it. Do you know how it works? You still have a traffic fine. Now I'm going to pay the traffic fine. I will. No, I must still re-register my car's license. I must still do it. But I am. I'm going to next week. And then next week comes. No, I can't. I'm going to do it next week. And then you know when the traffic officer stops you. And then you think, the disc. And then they look at your disc. Sir, do you know that your license has expired? Procrastination. Eitstel. You know when it's... So, we must have diligence is having a good work ethic, operating with excellence, having attention to detail. Attention to the detail. What's important, what's not important, and if this is important, how are we going to do this? And then being careful and attentive. Ja, is wakker. You know, we must have a healthy and positive working habits, and that's what I spoke about. I said, studies have shown that people that are negative become depressed more easily. Negative people burn out very easily because they only see the bad and the ugly. And so I said, you must have a healthy work ethic. You must be excited about what you do. You must see the positive and you must see where God's moving. If not, you're destined to fail. Are you with me? You're destined to fail if you don't. I'm serious. Negative people can't have success. It's not just a biblical fact. It's just common sense. Are you with me? Because there's something that God must birth in you, and then you must do your part in what you want to achieve. So, today, I'm going to talk to you about planning as this part of being wise. Planning. And how important planning is. It's scary how Christians don't plan. So what are you going to do? No, I prayed to God, and then God said he's going to do this, and then no, God said, God's going to move. Yeah, but now how's God going to move? What's God going to do? No, he just said he's going to give me this. It doesn't work like that. We're going to learn today again from the ant and from Scripture what God says about planning. You've heard the saying, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. You've heard it, you've read it, you've seen it so many times. But we're going to have to talk about this evening. Why it is important to plan. Beplanning. Can I get an amen? No, maybe I shouldn't ask. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Go to the empty sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise without having any chief officer. She prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. There's planning there. Attention to detail. There's a diligence and a positiveness. How long will you lie there, sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? What is biblical planning? Planning means a design or the schemes prepared in advance of doing something. In other words, it's a state where you sit down and mentally you think something through. You can't just live by faith. A lot of Christians said, I must have faith. I said, yes, you must have faith. But faith doesn't excuse you from thinking. You must still think. Common sense. Are you with me? Biblical faith can only override your understanding. But biblical faith will not execute or kill common sense. Common sense says you can't stand in the middle of the road and pray for somebody and then think, I will have the faith, all the cars will stop because I have faith. While I'll visit you in the hospital, I'll pray for you and I'll have the faith to see if you will walk again. Are you with me? We make stupid assumptions and then we think it's of the Lord. Are you with me? I'm talking about planning here, and I'm talking to you about why planning is important. Watch what Proverbs chapter 21 verse 5 says. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Isn't that a beautiful proverb? Now, if I have to exegete that and just talk about it, I can talk about that the whole evening. But what I want you to see there is if you plan, abundance will come your way. Are you with me? If you plan, abundance will come your way. So what are the goals of planning? What are the goals of spiritual planning? I want you to see this, what Solomon told David, what David told Solomon. David was dying. Just watch what David tells his son Solomon. Then David gave Solomon, his son, the plan of the vestibule of the temple and of its houses and its treasuries, its upper rooms and its inner chamber, and of the room for the mercy seat. You see, David had a plan. David was going to die. His son had to build the temple. So David said, Solomon, here's the plans. Not Solomon, here's my thoughts. Solomon, here's my faith. Solomon, here's money. No. He said, Solomon, there's the plans. Solomon, I have a plan. Solomon, I'm a strategic thinker. Solomon, I think through my stuff, my son. I don't go blindly into stuff. I actually have plans here. The blueprint. If you've seen in the movies, always wonder when they want to rob a bank, then they get a blueprint of the city and the bank's perimeter. You know, that blueprint, they look, okay, we're going to go through here. We're planning. We're talking about planning. But now just watch what David says in verse 19. Chronicles 28, 19. All this he made clear to me. David says to Solomon, Solomon, God made all this clear to me in writing from the hand of the Lord, and the work to be done according to the plan. He received the plan from God. So what do we learn from this? Planning reveals God's character and it brings glory to his name. If you sit down and God gives you the plan, that plan will bring glory to his name. Are you with me? We're talking about biblical planning now. Did you see there what David said? Just go back to that scripture, Chronicle chapter 28, verse 19. All the work to be done according to the plan. You see, a lot of people think God just acts and God reacts. God has a plan. And I can tell you this, his plan will come to fruition. If we agree with it or not, he'll do it. If we disobedient, he'll do it. If we don't want to do it, he'll choose somebody else. Reinhard Bonnke said, God appeared to him in a dream. Before he had this major ministry, God appeared to him in a dream and God said, Reinhard, I want you to preach the gospel in Africa. So he said, no, he was actually sleeping and God came into his room and God spoke to him, look here, I want you to preach the gospel in Africa. But no, God, you know how we are. You know, God said God had a plan for Africa. And so Reinhard had a lot of excuses. So God said, okay, Reinhard, you're not the first person that I'm asking. I'm leaving again. He got up, he said, God, don't leave. I'll do it. When it comes to God's plans, you know, jy kan hom nie vermaak nie. God has a way of wanting us to do stuff. Do what he says. Because it's part of his plan. Are you with me? If you don't want to do it, you'll ask somebody else. Are you with me? Reinhard Bonnke was the third guy that God asked. to preach the gospel in Africa. He's the one that said yes. He wasn't God's first choice. Isn't that interesting? That Reinhard for Africa wasn't God's first choice. We should never fall into presumption where we think I'm God's first choice. It's one thing to have confidence within the Lord. But I'll tell you, as soon as you're disobedient to God's plans, He'll choose somebody else. I operate like that. I've learned this. If I talk to someone and I ask somebody, look, you go and pray, just listen to what God says, what God expects from you, and what God wants. If they try, it's fine. I have a long thing, then I say, it's fine. I just get somebody else. And I've had people coming to me, Carlos, I'm ready now. I want to do it. And I say, no, I gave the job to somebody else. I'm sorry. No, sorry. I don't even say I'm sorry. I just say I gave the job to somebody else. It's cool. I'm talking about an urgency of planning. I'm talking about an obedience to God. Planning reveals God's values. You see, when you tap into God and He speaks to you, you must do this and this, you'll get value-based, but your values will come from God, and God will say, this is the values that I want to impart into you, and people will see it. Are you with me? There's a lot of us that are being blessed, really blessed by God, but we're not seeing it because we're not seeing the blueprint and the plan that God has for you. All that you see is the stuff that's not happening. All I'm saying is go back to the drawing board and look at what God said to you. Look at what God promised you. Look at the plan. He's the man with the master plan. Are you with me? It's beautiful. It prepares the way for others to succeed. Why am I saying that? David wanted to build God a temple, but God told David, no, David, you can't. You know why? You have too much blood on your hands. You killed too many people. You can read the scripture. God said, David, you have too much blood on your hand, my brother. You don't play with a ninja or a kung fu master. You take him out. You know, David was a loving, beautiful man, but I'll tell you, step on David's toes or mess with his family. He'll drop a smile immediately, look you in the eye, and he'll say, are you ready for war? All I want to say, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear, and I've killed Goliath. I'll take you out. You better start shaking what your mama gave you, or you're going to die. And if I don't kill you, have you seen my mighty men? Have you seen my mighty men? I'll step back and they'll come. They will take you out. They will wipe you out. And so God said, David, you can't do that. But David, here's the plan. And to whom does David give the plans? Can somebody tell me? Solomon. So a plan will always glorify God's name. It will reveal God's values, and a plan will always help somebody else to success. Your plans are not for yourself. Your plans are for your children's children's children. Your plan is for the small group. If you have a business, your plan, your business plan, will be there for the success of others. Start thinking that way. Chris, is this your cat coming to service? Can it be? Is that cat spirit filled? Can he speak in tongues? My word, Marshall. The cat wants to worship. Is it your cat? No. Oh. It's cool. Anyway, the cat distracted me. Kitty cat. Anyway, I'm talking about success here. You see, if God gives you a plan, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say now. He gave you that plan to be a blessing to the rest of the world. It's not your plan. It's the same with gifts. A man's gift will make room for him. For what? to glorify God and to talk about God's values. Who's got their own businesses here? Just raise your hands, let me see. If you have your own business, it works like that. As an entrepreneur and a business owner, you have to pay salaries, isn't that so? And you know, when you don't have any work, and it's the 23rd of every month, then you think, ooh, how am I going to pay my staff? Now, I just want to say this to you, it's natural. God planned it that way. God wanted it to be that way because it's part of God's plan. It keeps us on our toes. I mean, you can talk to any dad. If there's no money by the 25th of the month, then you start worrying. When's my daughter going to study? Where's the food going to come from? We're talking about planning here. Are you with me? Planning creates unity. Planning creates unity. If you sit with your staff, you tell your staff, no, don't do that. You say, good morning, everybody. So, good morning, everybody. How are you? Did you have some coffee? We have a dilemma. This is a crisis in our company. How are we going to solve this problem? Then you brainstorm for 2 or 3 hours and you quarrel as you do planning. You fight. Now, why should we do this way? No, I think we should do it. Now, okay, explain to me why do you think. Then you work through the issue. Are you with me? Till you have come to conclusion, this is what we want. Now you've planned, how are you going to get there? Do you know what's the blessing? The blessing is unity. Because we've worked together, how are we going to implement the plan? I'm not talking about receiving the plan. As the business entrepreneur, you've received the plan from God. I'm talking about working the plan through now. Are you with me? The whole team will not get the plan. You'll get the plan, but you have to work through the plan. Are you with me? It creates unity. Unity always lies in the process of getting to it. It's a beautiful blessing when that happens. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 22 says, plans fail when there is no counsel, but with abundant advisors they are established. Oh, isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful when you can plan with people and there's wise men around you that can help you, talk to you about it. So, planning with many wise men leads to collective success. Everybody's successful if the plan works. The power of the process is more valuable than the result. The power of the planning process is more valuable than the result. Why? Because we could see each other's hearts while we talked about how we're going to solve this problem. Now that's more valuable when all of us come to the same conclusion and we say, well, yes, like it. We must do this. There's immediate unity. The process was beautiful. Sometimes you cry when you plan because there's huge fights. We don't agree on something. But you know when you come to that place of unity in a plan, I can tell you this, you won't have to force your people to work. They'll do it themselves. Because the process is more beautiful coming to that conclusion. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 18 says, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. Don't go to war without wise advice. Successful warfare are won through planned battles. And there's a lot of battles that needs to be won. So now we're going to get practical. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2 to 3. The Lord's second reply. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently for it. It will surely take place. It will not be delayed. I'm talking about planning now, and I'm going to get practical. I'm going to help some people that does not know how to plan. The first thing is, set specific measurable goals that will complement the vision. God will give the vision. You must write it down, but it must be measurable. A vision must be measurable. Your planning must be measurable. It must have specific goals. If you can't do that, you're going to get taken out. How does that work? It's simple. Say you need 10,000 rand for your business to be profitable. And you've worked out that you must do 60 jobs to get your practice or whatever to a place where you need to be profitable. Then you need to sit down and say, look, you guys, for us to pay salaries, for me to be successful, I need to do this. And I must be able to measure it in a month. It's not a sky in a pie, some fucking thing. It's something that you've planned. It's specific. And it will complement the vision. Are you with me? Does it make sense what I'm saying? Because if you don't do that, it will always be pie in the sky. There's a lot of people with good ideas, but it stays ideas because it's in their head. A good idea becomes a vision as soon as you write it down. Otherwise, it stays an idea. A good idea becomes a plan when you've set goals. So if I want 20,000 rand in the month, I have to do 15 jobs, and 15 jobs I must spread over the month. So if I have to do 15 jobs a month, then it must be 2 jobs per day. 1 job per day, 2 jobs per day. Then I'll get 30 jobs. Then so by mid-month, I've cut free. Now for the rest of the month, that's bonus. And I must push for that. Are you with me? We're talking about planning. We're going to get more practical now. Then develop a plan of action with action points and remember the timeline. So, how am I going to get to this point? After you set, you must put a timeline there. If you've set your goal, you must have a timeline. A lot of people, they don't have timelines. If I don't have 15,000 rand by the 15th of every month, then I must start worrying. Are you with me? Because I've set myself a goal that I want that by that time. You know what the principle I'm talking about? I'm talking about the principle of deferring and delegating. Deferring authority is when you tell your daughter, will you please go buy us a bread so that we can have supper? And then when supper comes and you sit down to eat, the bread's not there. Everybody wants to eat a slice of bread with a sausage and the eggs, but there's no bread. Then the mom or the dad says, where's the bread? I send you to buy bread. That's called deferring authority. You've given your authority to your daughter, and I have an expectancy that she will do it. What is delegating? Delegating is when you tell your daughter, will you please buy the bread? And after 2 hours, you will check if she bought the bread. Did you buy the bread yet? Yes, I did. Tick. Job done. It's a timeline. You can't get past that. If I ask somebody in church, you must go see that person, then I phone, have you seen that person? Give me feedback. How did it go? What happened? What's happening in her or his life? Is everything cool? Are you with me? deferring. So there's a timeline there. Then you must determine, after you've done that, you must determine priorities. Everything that is important is not urgent. I'm going to say it again. Everything that is important is not urgent. Must I say it again? Everything that is important is not urgent. If you are a bass player on stage and one of your strings pops, forget about your makeup. Your makeup, if you're a lady, forget about your makeup and how your hair looks. If your guitar string popped, priorities your guitar string. Your makeup is important, but it's not that important. I know it's a silly example, but you know, a lot of people will first go for their makeup. Oh, I must look beautiful. And then when she has to play, she only has four strings. Now, how are you going to sound? You look beautiful, but you sound bad, eh? It's no use in looking beautiful, but you have bad results. Then you must delegate. Do the work, do the follow-up, and refocus. I plan my week every Monday. I sit and I plan my week till the next Monday. Alma and I, we talk it through. Now I'm getting really practical. So on a Monday, after we've done our admin, we sit down, we have a meeting for the whole week. We talk about what we need to do, who we need to go see, why we need to go see them and why do we need to talk to them, what needs to be done in church, what was not done in church, and where can we better everything. Then we talk that through. Where does the children need to go? Carla must go for swimming classes. I must go to Stellenbosch. C must take this one there. I must go see this one at the mall. We need a new mixer. We need new lights. We need a new carpet. We need a new drum set. We talk about all of that. Then we set specifics there. Okay, this should be done by this time and this should be done by this time. Are you with me? Now, then we talk about who can do this. Then you delegate. Chris, this and this broke, or this person needs me. I can't get there. Can you go and see that person, please, and talk to that person? It's really important that you get there. This lady, she has suicidal tendencies. It's urgent. You must get there. It's a priority. Will you do that? Yes, I'll do that. Give report back. We need a report back. You must write out a report. Because I'm delegating now. And I must do follow-up later. Did you talk to her? What does the report say? We need to get this lady to a doctor. Are you with me? That is how practical it gets. Now, really important. Every morning when I get up, then I take my phone, my BlackBerry, then I look at all my appointments and everything that I need to do. Because Almri puts everything on an appointment for me. Then I think through my day. At 9... for instance, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, church finances. After that, Tanya will come. We'll talk about the first-time visitors' cards, a discussion about that. After that, it's church stats. Levalent gives the church stats. Then I need to go through the stats. After that, I think through what went wrong, how can we better that? Now, that takes me a whole morning. You won't believe me, but it takes me the whole morning. Because it's labor intensive. We try before lunch or after lunch, then we just sit down again. Now we talk about the rest of the week. What needs to happen? Tomorrow evening we have an appointment. So we know at what time? 7. 7 o'clock, who are we seeing? It's to Chris. We see Chris and Lisa Greiling. So it's settled. So tomorrow morning when I wake up, or this evening, I pray through it. I said, God, this is what I need to do today. God, I just pray for you. God, when we're going to just have a fellowship with Chris and Liesl, I trust you, God, for your presence to be in my life. I trust just to impart wisdom. I trust to impart friendship, God. Then I think through my day so that nothing will catch me by surprise. And if there's a surprise, I've thought through it. Are you with me? And so I do for every day of the week. I think it through. There's a joke in Marcel Herodine's home. He has a cap that goes over your ears. It looks like those air pilot caps. His daughter says, Carlos, that is my dad's thinking cap. Because I hear in the morning, 5 o'clock, he puts it on, then he walks on the balcony. He prays and he thinks through his day. Wherever you want to do it, however you want to do it, you do it, but you must think through your day. You must plan. You must be strategic. And you must know what the outcome is going to be of whatever you're going to do. I never just go visit people and eat with them. Because there is a reason in having fellowship with people. God has a reason that we eat together. I love the fun. I love the chat. I love the talk. But you know what? If you go prepared, people can actually bless you. A lot of us, we miss what other people can bless us because we don't go prepared. I always go prepared and I always say, God, whatever these people want to bless me with, I want to receive it. Show me your hand in this. Brian and Trish has invited us one Friday just to eat with them. I actually left from you refreshed. So I know what God wanted to do. God wanted to refresh me and my wife with our children. Just refreshed. It's a blessing. But you know what? If you don't go prepared, if you don't go with an expectancy, you're going to miss everything. Tomorrow morning, my day will start most probably at 5 o'clock, 5:30, because 7:15, I need to be at Worcester Gymnasium. I'm going to talk there to the kids. I'm so excited about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going, ooh, I can't wait, you know. And in that, I also know it's my children's first day at their new school. So I'm going to pray for them. What am I going to pray? I'm going to pray that they will adapt very easily. Ek dink vooruit dat die aanpassing vir hulle nie so moeilik moet wees by die nuwe skool nie. I'm going to pray that because I've thought of it. And I'm going to bless them and I'm going to say, God, I pray that they will make new friends there also. I know they're secluded, but God, she must make new friends because God, we're planning for her to stay with that school. So God uses familiarizers so quickly, both of them so quickly. I think through it. Do you understand? And then I set the timeline. Okay, God, by week number 2, Carla and Eva should be able to do this, this, and this, and this, and they should be able to know this and this, and they should be able to know this about the school. And then I can test it. It's measurable. It's goals. Am I helping anybody here? Am I helping you? It's really important that we get this right. If you don't do it, it will always be pie in the sky. Are you with me this evening, ladies and gentlemen? That's all that I want to say. Set your goals. Set a timeline for the goal. And then refocus. Okay, I've achieved this. I haven't achieved this. Simple. Isn't it beautiful? Planning. We're talking about planning.